Good afternoon, everyone. So in accordance with... okay. Thank you. So in accordance with the working methods of the ILO, in that sense, may I explain that we differ perhaps from UNECE or IMO that generally gather inputs in between their member states, no? And other parties to start building a tool such as a code of practice or guidelines. We at the ILO, because we need to balance the views of our tripartite constituency in terms of workers, employers, and governments, generally it's the secretariat that prepares a zero draft for discussion. So in this case, we really wanted to update the CTU code, and we thought it would merit this update in view of developments that happened in 2022. And that's why we suggested to introduce this safe and healthy working environment chapter in order for the CTU to be in line with our most recent tools and guidelines on occupational safety and health and from other sectors. So with that said, first I wanted to explain what is a safe and healthy working environment and why it has become a fundamental principle and right at work, and I will go into an explanation of that. Then we will go, as Lucas suggested, on a deep dive. I think that it will be worth to look into article by article on what we are proposing as a secretariat, that should be the minimum provisions to include in the CTU code to update it with regards to that. Then Niels, that came here as an ILO expert, will provide us with some background on the reasoning on the selection of the OSH specific issues that were included, occupational safety and health issues that were included in this chapter. And then we are suggesting one section or subsection in chapter one in order to connect it with the new chapter five. So why is it safe and healthy working environments as a fundamental principle and right at work? Well, at the ILO in 1998, there was a declaration that was adopted, the Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work. And it basically, at that time, highlighted nine international instruments or conventions that were the minimum conventions that there was no point to belong to the ILO if you don't believe in those principles. So basically, the supervisory mechanism of the ILO applies to these conventions, notwithstanding the ratification or not of our member states. By the mere fact of belonging to the organization, you need to believe that there is freedom of association and the right to organize, that forced labor and child labor should be combated, that there is equal remuneration, and discrimination should be combated. And then in 2022, in the aftermath or while the pandemic was still receding, our membership decided that occupational safety and health, now called safe and healthy working environment, also merited to be upscaled into a fundamental principle and right at work. So there would be no point in belonging to the ILO if you don't believe, let's say, in these principles. And these conventions actually are supervised, notwithstanding states' ratifications, by the ILO supervisory mechanisms through the regular system of supervision. So in that sense, also perhaps we differ from other UN system agencies because we do have those committees that summon member states to follow up on the implementation of the conventions. And whereas normally these committees, every 5 years, they need to submit a report on how they are complying with the conventions that have been ratified, for the fundamental ones, these are automatically also supervised, and workers or employers can present cases against the governments for the non-compliance of these 11 instruments. So that makes us not very popular sometimes. But these committees, in a sense, they're also linked to foreign investment, and that's where it comes to the relevance of the supervisory mechanism and of the interest of governments really of complying to the obligations they subscribe, no, when belonging to the ILO or when ratifying a convention. So I wanted to play this video on the adoption of safe and healthy working environment, which is a follow-up, no, of the 1998 Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work, and why the pandemic represented, let's say, a before and after, no, in terms of occupational safety and health. It's hyperlinked.